Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Thanks for joining us. Michael Cohen here, 1320 WILS. U.S. citizens being subjected to what amounted to torture in an illegal CIA human experimentation program. It was several decades after the events occurred that the public began to learn about Project MKUltra, and what they discovered was shocking. Dr. W. Henry Wall Jr. is an oral surgeon, award-winning inventor of more than 19 medical patents, or holds more than 19 medical patents, and is the author of the new book, From Healing to Hell, in which he recounts the experience of his father who was unwittingly drawn into this program. He joins me now. Dr. Wall, thank you so much for coming on the program this evening.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, for those who don't know, briefly describe what we do know about Project MKUltra and what kind of experimentation was being conducted on U.S. citizens.
Well, MKUltra was a situation that was secret for many years. In fact, when this was happening in the 50s, the CIA was not even known. It was an extremely secret experimentation.
So, okay, now, what kinds of things were people subjected to under this project?
Well, they were subjected to LSD and all types of psychotic drugs were given to them from the standpoint of trying to develop a mind control circumstance.
Now, your father was a Georgia state senator. How in the world did he get wrapped up in this Project MKUltra?
Well, my father was a physician, and then he was a state senator. He was a mental health hero in the state for many years, and that's the amazing part of this story. The unfortunate thing is he did not realize that he was developing diabetes, and he only found out about it when he went through some extensive periodontal surgery to try to save his teeth. He eventually lost all of them. And is at that point in time that he was given some Demerol, and at that time it was actually advertised as a non-addicting drug. Of course, they changed that, and it is an addicting drug, but it's not nearly as addicting as morphine.
I see. Now, how old were you when this began, when he went through this process?
When I actually realized what was happening, I was about 13 years old.
I see.
Now, my world turned upside down pretty shortly.
Now, let's follow this through then. So he's given Demerol. Now, what happens? How does he get ensnared in the project?
Well, the local mayor was also a physician, and he suspected that my father was addicted because they put some traps in the sewer system and caught some vials of, you know, used Demerol in the vials and in the traps. And the local mayor actually called in the federal narcotic agents who arrested him and charged him with a felony.
I see. So he goes to prison at that point?
He was tried on 18 counts. He was found guilty on 3 counts. And the truth was he was addicted, but he never actually took any kind of narcotics while in jail. He was not, you know, severely addicted, but addicted enough to have a problem.
So from what you know, how does he get involved specifically in the project once he's in prison? Was he picked out specifically?
Well, we actually went and visited with him that Christmas in 53, and he talked about some type of experimentation that was ongoing and that the prisoners had been asked to take part in this experiment. And he said, "I'm not about to do that." And we said, "Please don't do that." And so he, you know, he wasn't going to do it. The experimentation was actually done by a physician, a Dr. Harris Isbell. And this is amazing that this physician would work for the CIA and actually do this experimentation surreptitiously on unwilling victims.
I'm talking to Dr. W. Henry Wall Jr., author of the new book, From Healing to Hell. It outlines his father's experience being involved in this illegal CIA mind control experiment labeled Project MKUltra. So when you would see your father, did he explain to you what he was experiencing as he was being administered LSD and these other substances?
At that time, that hadn't happened. It was after Christmas in 53 when they actually started doing the dosing of these patients through the cafeteria line. And that was when he started refusing to eat at the cafeteria and would only eat soup at the local canteen. And we had to send him money to buy the soup. But
are you saying that prisoners were dosed with LSD en masse inside a cafeteria setting?
That's right, yeah.
Did that not create violence and mayhem?
I assume it probably did. I didn't know any of it, and he didn't tell us about any of it. He just told us about the early people who volunteered who were walking around in a daze and just had this strange look in their eye, and he talked about that. But it was later that he was actually a victim himself.
So he begins to sense that there's something in the food. He feels the effects. So what happens at that point once he refuses to eat the food?
He lost about 80 pounds over a period of about 3 months. And he finally got out of prison and was flown home. And we thought, you know, he was normal. We were quick to find out that his personality had totally changed.
Now, when you say totally changed, what was he like once he returned home?
Well, he had some spells that where he had real wild looks in his eyes, and he would carry a pistol, and I was afraid he was going to commit suicide. It was pretty bad.
I see. Now, did he ever in any way recover years later?
He did recover, but not completely. It changed his personality permanently. It was very shocking and very sad what happened to him.
So at what point do you discover that this is actually experimentation that's being conducted, and what was your initial reaction?
Well, he talked about it, and he just didn't know what had happened. But it was 1977 before we found out through the Church Commission what actually happened.
I see, the fact that the CIA was behind it.
That's right. We tried to get the records related to it. They apparently do not exist. There is apparently no record that he was actually a prisoner.
How did it affect your view on the U.S. government?
Well, I was shocked about it and very saddened. When on one hand, he was a local mental health hero of the state, and then on the other hand, the federal government destroyed his own mental health.
Did it have any permanent effect on how you view the likelihood that the government may be doing these kinds of things even potentially now?
It makes me very suspicious about these individuals who do things like this, like recently the so-called Fast and Furious thing that resulted in a death down in Texas, and apparently many Mexicans were killed.
And your father's, was he alive when the information began to come out in terms of who was behind the experimentation?
No, he'd been dead about 10 years when that finally came out. I wanted to write the book much earlier. My mother would not let me write it. She begged me not to write it.
No, now, what was her hesitation?
Well, it was such a terrifying event, she didn't want to recount it again. You know, she simply just did not want to deal with it.
And in terms of the actual details of what he was administered, how much, all that information, you're saying it isn't available and likely will never be available?
No, it's not available. In fact, apparently the Church Commission found out that the director, Richard Helms, ordered that all the evidence be destroyed.
I mean, essentially, was the government looking to get a better understanding of these this hallucinogen and how it works?
He just didn't want the information to get out. Just what happened?
Right. No, but in terms of the experiments themselves, they were being conducted for the government to get a better understanding of this substance that was new at the time, right?
That's right. And I understand that the CIA thought and the government thought that the Russians had come up with a mind control method. And I think that they were suspicious that they were falling behind in that area. And so they would just illegally try to develop their own.
And the doctors that were involved at the time, do you think they themselves may have not really known just how powerful and harmful the effects were?
They had to know. I mean, that's the shocking part. And the other part that's shocking part about it is this Dr. Isbell was apparently a very well thought of pharmacologist, medical pharmacologist. If you look at the pharmacology books, you can look in the reference areas of narcotic drugs, and you will find him referenced, his work referenced in those textbooks.
Well, a disturbing chapter in American history. You can read all about it in the new book by Dr. W. Henry Wall, Jr., titled From Healing to Hell. Dr. Wall, thank you again for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much, Michael.
And we will be right back to wrap things up. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to More Compelling Talk Radio. This is 1320 WILS.